When you want the best of Samsung's best, you probably want the Note. I'm going to review the Galaxy Note 20 Ultra next. Hands-on Tech is brought to you from LastPass Studios. Using the same password everywhere is a security nightmare waiting to happen. LastPass easily creates unique passwords for every site. Visit LastPass.com/Twit.
This is Twit.
This episode of Hands-on Tech is brought to you by Raycon. Raycon's wireless earbuds are perfect for listening to audiobooks, music, or podcasts. Go to buyraycon.com/hot and get 15% off your order. Hello, welcome to Hands-on Tech. I'm Jason Howell, and this week I've got the Galaxy Note 20 Ultra. When you want top of the line, luxury, in fact, man, it's really hard to go anywhere other than Samsung's top of the line. They have really come so far with their all-glass design, and the Note 20 Ultra is kind of the pinnacle of this. It's kind of one of the things that I love most, and I'm definitely going to talk about it. This year, we have the Note 20 and the Note 20 Ultra, which I have right here, and there are some pretty significant differences to know about. Sure enough, of course, both of them have the signature S Pen, right? It wouldn't be a Note without the S Pen. But each device isn't made the same. The Note 20, the standard Note 20, is $300 less than the Ultra. It has a plastic body, a smaller, but not necessarily small, flattened 6.7-inch 1080p display. It lacks a micro SD card slot, has a less capable camera system, let's just say a step down, and a handful of other trade-offs as well. The Note 20 Ultra, on the other hand, is Samsung's way of saying, if what you want is the best of the best, then this is the one to get right here. And you're going to pay for it. It's pretty expensive. It starts at $1,300 with 128 gigs of storage. That happens to be the device, the version that I have. Goes up to $1,450 with 512 gigs of storage. So it really depends on what storage you want inside of the Ultra. That's going to determine how much you pay. And no matter how you slice it, it's a pricey phone. It promises to deliver everything that you want a smartphone to do. So why don't we take a closer look and see if it actually delivers on that promise? So first and foremost, as you can see, this is a gorgeous device. And it feels like a piece of art. Like when I'm holding this phone and using it, like sometimes I just kind of get lost in the camera module area. It's just a beautiful device. And I love the Mystic Bronze color. I just think it's very premium, very nice looking. It also has a nice textured glass on the back that does a great job at repelling fingerprints nicely. It does have an aluminum chassis around the sides. And considering all of that, I am deadly afraid of dropping it because it's a large device and it is a glass sandwich design. Thankfully, though, the front and back are Gorilla Glass Victus, the latest version of Gorilla Glass, which is supposedly incredibly tough. Now, I didn't drop this device to test it myself. I've seen drop tests where it survived when it shouldn't. I've also seen drop tests where the glass is a spiderweb of cracks from pocket distance to the ground, which just kind of says that glass is, unfortunately, still glass, but it's probably better than the past versions of Gorilla Glass. The camera bump itself is protruded exceptionally far, as you can see here, even more so than it was in the Note 20 Ultra, and it was pretty far on that one. That's great for the camera hardware that's inside, which I'm going to talk about later, and just look at that hardware. It's a beautiful design in and of itself around the cameras, but the bump is awkward, I'd say, from a design standpoint. It's narrower than the steep bump that is found on the S20 Ultra, and that actually makes it more wobbly on flat surfaces. And when you consider, sometimes you might want to use the S Pen with the device when it's sitting on a table, it makes for a wobbly experience. I might actually suggest that the solution here is to get a case. Now, a case might help. It's a guess. I don't have a case for the Note 20 Ultra yet. I do for the S20 Ultra. And as you can see, it flattens out everything around the camera module and makes it just a little bit easier. So finding the right case might be the solution. The device is IP68 rated, which is essential at this price point. Yes, the S Pen hides away nicely as it has for many generations now. No, it cannot be inserted incorrectly, so that's not going to happen for you. Overall, the Note 20 Ultra is a phone that is impossible not to notice. When you're using this phone, it's noticeable, and it's striking, it's very appealing, but often feels just a little too big for even my hands, and that's saying something. As for the display, it's a 6.9-inch 1440p Super AMOLED curved display. It has an Infinity O hole punch for the front-facing camera. I do kind of find myself wishing more for flat edges around the side of the display instead of the curve. There were some phantom touches that happened here and there that were kind of annoying, but the quality of the display is excellent, as we've come to expect out of Samsung's top-of-the-line devices. Now, unlike the OnePlus 8 Pro, the 120Hz refresh rate on the Note 20 Ultra is only available when you set the resolution to full HD. That's 1080p resolution. The S20 Ultra had this limitation too, by the way. So you do have to decide, do I want the best refresh rate or do I want the best resolution? And thankfully, 120Hz with a 1080p resolution was, to my eyes, the very best trade-off on this device. I was never thinking, man, I wish things would be sharper. Should be noted that the 120Hz refresh is available here depending on content. So if you're looking at something like a static web page, that doesn't need 120Hz. It could automatically ratchet down to 20Hz and then up to 120Hz when you're playing a supported game. It does this for you. This is for battery conservation, but there is no easy way to force 120Hz all the time. So some people might be upset about that. Underneath the glass is a fingerprint sensor, which of course works about as much as it ever does on Samsung devices, which is to say it's not perfect. I personally much prefer a physical sensor over in-glass ultrasonic sensors like Samsung uses. And also do note that this does not ship with a glass protector like the S20 Ultra did, so be careful with that display. All right, cameras. So first of all, let's talk about pictures. The rear cameras, the main 108 megapixel shooter and 12 megapixel ultra wide are essentially the same as what's found in the S20 Ultra. The main shooter can bend down to a single 12 megapixel image. You can opt, of course, to shoot in the full 108 megapixel mode, which allows you to crop out of it later if you like. You just got to use ample light in order to do that. Shots were nice. They're clear, they're crisp. I was pretty pleased with the quality, especially in ample light, as I was with the S20 Ultra. The ultra wide, I'd say, loses a little bit of detail. It washes out things a bit. Overall, I was pretty happy with those shots too. Now, there's also a 12 megapixel 5x optical zoom lens, which I really like the quality of. Very impressive zoom shots. I'm a sucker for a solid optical zoom, and getting 5x reach is really nice. And yes, the 50x super resolution zoom is here, but you're never going to use it. Now, recall that the S20 had some serious autofocus issues. Well, the laser autofocus on the Note 20 Ultra does appear to have solved those problems. I didn't encounter any of those issues this time around. Focus was fast and dependable. One thing I'd like to point out is single take mode, which I think is kind of neat. It's kind of like an auto awesome on the device. You set a time limit on it and it just shoots a bunch of different AI driven photos and videos of the scene that you're looking at, and then you have all these options later. Pretty cool stuff. I love having the pro mode for both photos and videos. It's what I use most on my Galaxy S20 Ultra. I've come to rely on it for video recording. I actually record all of my hands-on tech product shots with it. Peeling back the layers a little bit there. I anticipate using the Note 20 Ultra in its place for this going forward. Now, as for the front-facing camera, it's pretty solid for a selfie cam. Again, best with a good amount of light, and portrait performance is good if you don't look too closely at some of the edges. It does a pretty good job, but I prefer the Pixel portrait shots more. This episode of Hands on Tech is brought to you by Raycon. When listening to podcasts and music I love, the best way is with a pair of premium wireless earbuds from Raycon. Raycon's newest model, the Everyday E25 earbuds, are their best ones yet. You get 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, more compact design, and a noise-isolating fit. I gotta say, one of the things I love about them is just how light they are, and that's why I recommend wireless earbuds from Raycon. For a limited time, get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/hot. That's buyraycon.com/hot for a special 15% discount on Raycon wireless earbuds. Make sure to check it out now while the deal's running. buyraycon.com/hot. All right, now on to performance. And this device does have the top of the line Snapdragon 865 Plus. inside with 12 gigs of LPDDR5 RAM, so screaming fast. The 128 gigs of baseline UFS 3.0 storage is plentiful. It's fast. It's perfect for photos, videos, and games. That works for me. Of course, you can always get 512 gigs if you need more storage. They also included in the Ultra a micro SD card slot, which provides ample expansion if that's what you really need. Everyday tasks are easy. You know, zipping through your home screen, app tray, notifications, quick settings. You're not going to get slowed down in these capacities on a daily basis. And snapping photos and videos, also a breezy experience. Gaming is one area where this device shines. Asphalt 9, set to maximum graphics and frame rate, looks smooth as butter, beautiful for such a high movement action title. Call of Duty Mobile plays perfectly for me, looks great on the larger display as well, though there are some elements that get kind of difficult to interact with in the curved display. So that's a little annoying. The stereo speakers on the device are very loud, and they actually sound really good. It's got a nice stereo separation that really shines through when you're gaming. I should also mention that this device, of course, supports 5G. If that's important to you, that's inevitably part of the higher price tag. And as for battery life, it performed very well for me, though I did not have many heavy use days, as you can see here. I'm happy with what I got, but I could see some heavy users maybe reaching empty earlier than I have. But you can see my use and see how that compares for you. Software-wise, I mean, this is Samsung, so it's Samsung's One UI. At this point, I feel like it's a very known quantity. This one's based on Android 10. Samsung has promised 3 major OS updates, which is amazing. I love their new commitment to that. One UI is, you know, it's just jam-packed with tons of extra features. And you either love that or you don't. So that's really in your court. I will say that the new wireless DeX mode, which is kind of the desktop version of this device, depending on how you plug it into a monitor and keyboard, that sort of stuff, this new wireless mode is pretty awesome. It works with Samsung TVs that support phone mirroring. I happen to have one of those. It was super easy to use the quick setting tile to fire it off, and it just recognized the Samsung TV without any tweaks whatsoever, first time. And, you know, in this B-roll, pardon my one-handed control of DeX, but this is a very useful feature for controlling and showing phone content on a large screen. I really think they've done something good there. And finally, let's finish with the reason that people get the Note series in the first place, and that's the S Pen. The latest S Pen is actually better than ever, and it really does shine. You really notice it. The latency on the Ultra has been reduced to match Apple Pencil's 9 milliseconds, which is absolutely noticeable. Essentially, a single frame is what it comes down to. And the 120 hertz display really makes this possible. Now, along with that, plenty of ways to rely on the S Pen. And it'll take some time for you to get used to them. You take the S Pen out with the display off, and it lights up enough for you to scribble a note, so you don't have to like launch an app or anything. You can even pin that to the ambient display if you like. Now, if you hold the button on the side of the S Pen, you can perform air actions. And this is a way to control your device, kind of like Harry Potter. You're using it with the S Pen and waving certain actions in the air, much like the name implies. A quick squiggle, for example, takes a screenshot. And that one works more or less without fail. However, sometimes I wonder why I'm using them at all. Up, down, for example, takes me to recents. But then I actually do have to touch the screen for anything else once I'm there. So it just saved me the jump to recents and nothing else. Using the S Pen as a remote for camera and video recording, incredibly useful. I love that. And actually, air actions within that app do become pretty handy. You can zoom in, zoom out, you can change modes, that sort of stuff. And if art is your thing, if you have an artistic side of yourself, the Note is an incredibly inspiring creative tool. And the S Pen is the main reason why. And there are a few apps on the device that you'll get out of the box that will help you get creative with it. So overall, I would say that Samsung delivers a top-of-the-line device with premium everything, right? And they do this year after year with the Note series. This is really no different. Right now, however, it's kind of hard to justify $1,300 for a smartphone when there are incredible options out there for a lot less money during a time in which a lot of people are looking to save money. So you've got, you know, some mid-range options like the previously or very recently announced Pixel 4a and a whole bunch of others. You know, that's $350. So that's obviously the opposite end of the spectrum. But a bunch of other devices coming out that really fill in that mid-range price. And you know, true hardcore fans, of course, you're going to love the Note series and the Note 20 Ultra. If you're on the fence, you really want to ask yourself, what does this phone have that I absolutely need? For me, it's perhaps too much phone for my absolute needs on a day-to-day basis, let's say, which is not to say at all that it's a bad phone. It's actually a really well-designed phone. It's a fantastic device. And I'm going to be using this going forward. I'm going to be using this to record B-roll for my reviews, as I have done up until today with the Samsung Galaxy S20 Ultra. I'm now going to use the Note 20 Ultra for recording B-roll because I find benefit out of using its camera system for that purpose. But if I was to choose a daily driver, I'm not so sure that the Note 20 Ultra would be my pick. It's just, dare I say, too much phone for me. Thank you for watching my review of the Note 20 Ultra. You should definitely go out and check it out for yourself. If you like my reviews, you can find them all over the Twit Network, as well as All About Android, where we talk about Android devices all the time here on twit.tv.
Keep up with all the hottest tech news and gadgets. Visit twit.tv. There you'll be able to find and subscribe to all our tech shows. Thanks for watching Hands on Tech.